KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have partly cloudy to cloudy skies. It's windy and 32 degrees in Atlantic. A wind advisory is in effect today for the entire listing area until 4 o'clock for the far west and southwest Iowa counties and until 6 o'clock for Cass and other counties in the area. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman wants to remind residents of the county who recently received their voter registration cards in the mail that you do not have to return the card if the information printed on it is correct. You would only need to return that postage-paid card if information on it is incorrect, such as your name, your address, or other pertinent information. The way the card was printed has caused some problems for many county auditors' offices because it's confusing and seemingly contradictory. The bottom line is that you do not need to return the card if your information is correct. Returning the cards with no changes to them costs the county a little more than a dollar each time that they're mailed and processed. News time is 8:02.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Well, a public hearing will be held this morning in Greenfield with regard to the fiscal year 2013 budget in Adair County. That hearing takes place during the 9 a.m. meeting of the Adair County Board of Supervisors. And during the session, the board will also act on a resolution approving the fiscal year 2013 budget and other matters to come before them, including the local option sales tax revenue and expenditures, along with discussion on bridges, a capital projects plan, and more. Can you tell the difference between a scud cloud and a wall cloud? Do you know the difference between a funnel cloud and a tornado? Well, trained storm spotters know the difference, and they serve as the local eyes for the National Weather Service when severe weather threatens. Each year, meteorologists for the National Weather Service travel to most of the 51 counties they serve to provide a comprehensive multimedia spotter training presentation. The classes are hosted by local emergency management officials, fire departments, and even a few amateur radio clubs. There are several opportunities for you to attend one of these classes free of charge, and the classes typically last 1 to 2 hours. The courses cover information about severe weather climatology, severe thunderstorm types, different weather threats and how to identify them, how to report severe weather, spotter safety, and severe weather communications. And if a class is not offered in your county, you're welcome to attend a class in your nearby county. And there's a list of all the sites and times for the spotter training courses on our website at kjan.com under the Storm Spotter Training Course story. Just a few of them here in the KJAN listing area that are being offered in March include on March the 8th at the Prescott Fire Station in Adams County beginning at 7 o'clock. March 14th at the Lewis Fire Station here in Cass County, also starting at 7. On March the 15th, a storm spotter course will be held at Southwestern Community College in Creston, room 180 at 7 p.m. On March the 21st at the Mount Air Courthouse Assembly Room at 7 p.m. And on March the 26th at the Carroll Fire Station beginning at 6:30. Also in April, on the 4th, these spotter courses will be held at the Audubon County Courthouse beginning at 6:30. And on the 18th at the Menlo Community Center in Menlo beginning at 7 p.m. Wishes to Walt Disney World Resort may be the most typical wish for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, but there was nothing commonplace about a 6-year-old Underwood girl's wish. Elizabeth, her last name not released, wanted to go to the Disney theme park to meet Belle, Cinderella, Tinkerbell, and Rapunzel. And when her wish was fulfilled, Elizabeth became the 2,500th child to receive a wish in the state of Iowa. The Make-A-Wish Foundation of Iowa grants the wishes of children living with life-threatening medical conditions to enrich the human experience with hope, strength, and joy. And a wish comes true helps children feel stronger and more willing and able to battle their life-threatening conditions. And for many children and their families, it marks a turning point in their fight against their illnesses. The Iowa chapter of the Make-A-Wish Foundation grants approximately one wish every other day, and 82 cents of every dollar donated goes directly toward those wishes. Some examples of how the wishes include have a room redone, to meet a sports or movie celebrity, to be a dolphin trainer, and to go to places like the Super Bowl, or, in Elizabeth's case, the Walt Disney World Resort. In 2012, the Iowa chapter of the Make-A-Wish Foundation is celebrating its 25th anniversary and 2,500 wishes granted to Iowa's children living with life-threatening medical conditions. A baby's born on this leap day will age just like the rest of us, of course, but they'll only be able to mark their actual birth dates once every 4 years. A maternity ward at one of the region's largest hospitals is nearly bursting with expectant mothers. Paul Baltus, a spokesman for the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, says there's no fudging allowed on the birth certificates.
Yeah, leap day babies get February 29th as their official birthday, and then it's just up to the family to decide on those other non-leap years whether they celebrate it on February 28th or March 1st.
Some hospitals may allow parents of leap year babies to choose from among the earlier or later dates for the birth certificate. That's not the policy in Omaha. He says it may be a very busy day on the maternity ward.
We do actually have not a completely full house right now, but we do have a number of patients in right now. So whether they deliver today or tomorrow remains to be seen, but I think the possibility exists for a good number of leap day babies, at least here at the Med Center.
By the time all of those babies reach 40 years of age, they'll only have officially seen 10 birthdays. Grown-ups may not care so much about that, but for many children, birthdays are a very big deal.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think as adults, we the older we get, the less emphasis there is on the birth date. But I know my son has a kid in his class who has a February 29th birthday, and I think what he said they do is celebrate it on the 28th, but maybe it's a little more special if it only comes around, the actual date only comes around once every 4 years.
And for those who believe in astrology, it's said that those born on February 29th under the sign of Pisces will have unusual talents and personalities reflecting their special status. February 29th was first designated as a leap day by the Romans, but a precise formula was adopted in the 16th century, stating that leap days could only be in the years that were evenly divisible by four. Elsewhere in state news, Republicans who hold a House majority predict a committee will approve a proposed constitutional limit on state spending. Urbandale Representative Scott Racker says the House Appropriations Committee should approve the measure today, and then the full House will later okay the proposal. Republicans acknowledge the measure won't likely be approved in the Senate, where Democrats hold a majority. The proposal would add a requirement to the Iowa Constitution that the state spend no more than 99% of what it collects in taxes. It would also require a 60% legislative vote before the state could raise taxes and a two-thirds vote to issue bonds. Such legislation can now be approved with a simple majority. The voters would have to approve the measure before it could be written into the state's constitution. And taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, the economy grew at a slightly faster pace in the final 3 months of the last year, and Americans earned more income than previously reported. That could set the stage for stronger growth this year. The Commerce Department says the economy expanded at a 3% annual rate in the October through December quarter. That's the fastest pace since the spring of 2010. It exceeded the previous estimates of 2.8%, and it was better than the third quarter's 1.8% growth rate. Rescue workers are searching a trailer park in southwest Missouri where at least one person was killed and more than a dozen were injured in an apparent tornado overnight. Storms across the region left at least a dozen more people injured in the tourist city of Branson. And the National Weather Service says some residents were trapped in their homes. Rescuers are still searching for three people who were on board a Coast Guard helicopter that crashed in Alabama's Mobile Bay during a training mission yesterday evening. A fourth person was confirmed dead. Three missing are all Coast Guard members. KJAN News Time is 8:10.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In our funeral announcements, Alphonse Nicholas Geezer, age 87, of Erling, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Alphonse Geezer will be today at 10 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Velma Helen Bates, age 90, of Earl Griswold, died Friday. Funeral services for Velma Bates will be today at 10:30 at the Griswold United Methodist Church. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Rhea M. Kenyon, age 96, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday. Memorial services for Rhea Kenyon will be today at 2 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. Marion Taylor, age 96, of the Heritage House in Atlantic and formerly of Avoca, died Monday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Marion Taylor will be held on Thursday at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Evelyn Klein, age 69, of Fontenelle, died Sunday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Celebration of life services for Evelyn Klein will be held on Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church, with a luncheon to follow. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Lyle Otto Peters, age 89, of Avoca, died Monday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Lyle Peters will be on Thursday at 11 a.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. Florence Karsten, age 91, of Manning, died Sunday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Florence Karsten will be on Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning is in charge of the arrangements. Wayne F. O'Brien, age 87, of Adair and formerly of Menlo, died February 27th at the Stewart Community Care Center. A funeral mass for Wayne O'Brien will be held Friday at 10 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Also in the funeral announcements, Vera Whalert, age 101, of Exira, died Sunday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Vera Whalert will be held Friday at 10:30 at the Exira Christian Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira is in charge of the arrangements. Vernon TV Bob Robert Hansen, age 84, of Harlan, died Friday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Vernon Hansen will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Gene F. Smith, age 86, of Adel, died Thursday at the Sunnybrook Care Center in Adel. Funeral services for Gene Smith will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Adel United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Neva Kaiser, age 81, of rural Lewis, died Tuesday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Neva Kaiser are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Lucille Kahns, age 90, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Lucille Kahns are currently pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a check of our news and funeral announcements brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.